Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, again, and well, or good afternoon, if you're living in the Eastern time zone. Tim here with Ed and Wesley. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And Steve Jordahl joins us. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, afternoon, everybody.
It's Tuesday, September the 10th, 2024. Debate day.
Debate day. I got to tell you, I'm kind of looking forward to this. So, you know, there was a whole lot of back and forth between the campaigns and ABC News about what the rules for the debates were going to be. They are settled now, you know, and let me just go through what they are. First of all, the debate's going to be at the Philadelphia National Constitution Center. I don't know if that's the same building that Biden stood outside of with a red guard behind him. Remember that speech he gave? It was just after J6 in front of something in Philadelphia, and the army people behind him shaded in red and black. And you don't remember that speech?
I do remember that.
Oh, yep. My gosh. Anyway. The debate will be at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. No live audience, no opening statements. Candidates will have under 2 minutes to deliver a closing statement. David Muir and Lindsay Davis are the only ones, they're the moderators, permitted to ask questions. Two commercial breaks over 90 minutes. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer questions, 2 minutes for rebuttal, and an additional minute for follow-up and clarification. The microphones will remain muted when a candidate is not speaking. Trump won the virtual coin toss as far as who starts and where you stand on the stage. Trump decided and chose the final closing statement, so Harris got to choose where she's going to be on the podium, on the stage. Not surprisingly, she's going to be stage left.
Okay.
Now, is that facing?
Facing him, she could be on your right as you're looking at the TV. Okay. From the stage, it's on her left. The candidates will have to stand behind their lecterns for the duration of the debate. They're not allowed to take pre-written notes or props on stage, and they will not receive topics or questions in advance. 90 minutes, we were just talking off the air, Tim. How are you going to avoid, and in 90 minutes, some question on policy, because she has no policy. She's put policies on, but I just...
Nothing that she's made public.
Well,
discussed publicly. I guess would her campaign have...
Yeah, what I'm saying is I'm sure she is a radical pro-abortionist, that she's anti-fossil fuels, those kind of things. I think she does hold those views, but you're not going to hear, you might hear the abortion thing, but you're not going to hear the economic stuff.
She avoided any questions about policy for a month after she was.
How has she responded, by the way, to the criticism she received when she said she wanted price controls? That just exploded.
Economists across the board are saying it's a bad idea. First of all, what she's doing there is making sure that the voters feel victimized, which is the Democrats' specialty. They're price gouging. You know, supermarkets are operating on a very narrow margin. Only the big ones are making money. The mom and pops, this is going to kill them.
Has she stuck with that
promise? That's still her promise. I don't think she'll be able to do it. But again, you run on these things. And This is the telling thing. She avoided for 60 days or more any discussion of any policy, finally sat down, and she had to have Tim Walz with her on that, and they barely got to any policy. So finally,
think about weird.
Finally, on Sunday, this last Sunday, she realized, I better put some policy stuff out there. So she put a policy section up on her campaign page.
So I can go there now and see it.
You can. You can see policy. But what you're going to read, they found out that the page's source code reveals that parts of the platform were copied directly from Joe Biden's campaign page. She just copied the positions from Joe Biden.
So she's going to have a difficult time distancing herself from Joe Biden if she wants to promise, as she has already said.
She's not going to do that. She's going to say, I'm proud of.
Well, but she said she's going to take a new direction.
Yeah, that's what's confusing here. It's because audibly recently she said, no, we're making changes. And what we're saying is on the website, it says she's copy and pasted.
Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, it says that she really has no in-depth knowledge, and some of these policy positions are detailed.
See, I would have agreed with you just 15 days ago before she started using the phrase we're going to change. Okay. I would have agreed she would have been proud of those things.
What she's going to say is that she's proud of the accomplishments that she and Joe Biden have had. and it is going to sound contradictory, but she's going to say, but we can do more. She's going to say, she's going to say, we can do more. And we're, and I'm, my presidency is going to be somewhat different than his. I'm going to do A, B, and C so that we can accomplish more. She's going to try to have it both ways, whether she can.
That's her only choice.
Whether she can pull that off or not, I don't know. Go ahead.
So these are the positions that she's put up on her page. She says she's going to cut taxes for middle-class families, going to make rent more affordable and home ownership more attainable. She says she's going to grow small businesses and invest in entrepreneurship. She's going to take bad actors and bring down costs. She's going to strengthen and bring down the cost of health care. She's going to protect Social Security, Medicare. She's going to support innovation and American workers, she says. Three more. Provide a pathway for the middle class through quality, affordable education. Invest in affordable child care and lower energy costs to tackle the climate crisis. Now, if you want to talk about any of these, it's not long before you have to get into some details that she's not going to know anything about.
Well, we'll see. I tend to agree with you, but Trump's not he's not a big, very big detail guy either. With policy, he usually goes with generalities and big ideas, and that's fine. He'll say, you know, we're going to secure the border. It's been a disaster, which I'm just saying he's not one to get into the finer details of policy much either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think he understands that the general concept better than her. Listen, just let me play one more clip talk about this. They didn't have a whole lot of time to put this together, and the Harris campaign, and she didn't have.
I know there wasn't a Harris campaign until 2 months ago.
Right, right.
So they just sort of threw it together. Yeah.
They did, and listen to what she has to say about, you know. So if one of the questions is, how did we get here? What do you need to fix? What's broken? Well, this is what they think about what's broken. Cut 8.
Democrats have been in control of the country for the last 3 going on 4 years, and you are still seeing this in the polling. I mean, these working class voters are telling us right now that more of them are with Donald Trump than Kamala Harris. Why? What is it about what you guys have been doing for the last 3+ years that explains that?
Well, I think, again, we're trying to talk to the voters and explain this message. We've got 60 days until the election. We don't have time to sit around and think about why over the last few years certain things may have happened or may not have happened. We've got to go win an election.
That was Ian Sams, a Kamala Harris representative on CNN. I don't have time to go figure out what went wrong. We just got to fix it.
Listen, is tonight the night that especially Kamala Harris needs to avoid a big faux pas, viral moment where she has a word salad or doesn't.
Yeah, but here's a, yeah.
Y'all, the pressure's on her, in my opinion.
Yeah, but have we really, has it sank in yet that she's going to be 90 minutes? Is she going to be able to complete 90 minutes of a debate?
You don't sound like you're very confident.
I have no confidence at all.
Right.
You saw this, was it 16 and a half, 18 minute interview? I mean, this is not going to.
Right.
With her big brother sitting. Yeah. And
her only moment when she ran in 2020, her only moment before she dropped out with less than 1% when 18 other people kept going. I'm exaggerating a little bit there. Her only moment was, y'all be quiet.
Was that
talking.
I'm talking. That's it. That was her moment.
That's why I say the bar for her, I think, in the minds of most people,
6 inches off the ground for you.
It's very, very low. And if she is able, to sound relatively articulate, don't laugh me out of the studio. If she's able to sound fairly articulate, fairly knowledgeable, and come across not as shrill, like you said, that was a big moment in 2020. If she comes across as likable, she does not have to. That's like two or three rungs up the ladder from where most people expect her to be. That'll be a win for her.
Let me ask you this, too, because I think there's likely to be, for her at least, times of, because it's an uninterrupted comment, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, and there's no audience. So I think there's going to be times when she answers, she has 2 minutes to respond and she uses 47 seconds.
That could happen.
Because she has nothing else substantive to say about the issue. Now, sometimes we have those moments in life when we're just better just to say what we got to say and shut up. But yeah. I'm talking about, to your point, Steve, she has not demonstrated, Harris has not demonstrated that she is able to go very much in depth on much of anything, quite frankly.
I think there's about 80 to 85% of voters out there who are going to vote for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, no matter what. You know,
right, their minds are made
their
up.
Their minds are made up. So I think it's the 15% that are left that are going to look at her tonight if they're interested. And if she does have a word salad moment and if she seems out of her depth, that's going to affect them.
I just saw a poll numbers. I pointed and you guys all turned around and it was gone. But a poll showed it from Michigan.
Yeah.
7% of voters undecided. Now, whether that's completely true or not, but that's a pretty low number.
It's a low number, but the elections have been decided on much less than 7 points. Right. And by the way, we have a TV in our studio, which is what Ed was.
Yeah. There's like four different channels on that one TV. It's
multitaskers.
Yes. I can watch TV and talk.
You got ADD. Time. You got a problem in this room.
You know, there's reasons for the debates. I understand that, you know, a lot of the people's got their minds made up, but you got to remember the last debate we had, that's where President Joe Biden was.
Of Joe Biden's candidacy.
Yeah. So
I do think Trump's experience in this arena will benefit him tonight, and she runs a higher risk of having a bad night. Whether that happens or not, I think if you were going to handicap a football game and you had to say, okay, this team has more experience and this team is a newbie, then you're good. You know what I'm saying? Everything else being equal, you're going to say the experienced team is favored.
And that's why, using the metaphor of football, sometimes you'll have commentators say, this team, the less experienced team, has to play a perfect game.
Right, right.
To win.
I think that's, you know, the pressure's on her.
Think about
especially with nobody in the audience. It's a stale sort of a sterile.
You're not getting any feedback to play off.
If somebody drops their cup of coffee offset, everybody's going to turn over their look because there's nothing else. There's just the two reporters and the two candidates, and all they got is two restroom breaks in a 90 minutes, and then there's no talking to their staff. Mm-hmm, you got is a pad and a piece of paper. Is that right?
Like that, yeah. Think about what could happen. Donald Trump, whatever happens, you're not going to get a confusing word salad from him. Now, it might not be true, or they might challenge it on fact check type stuff. He might insult somebody. But all of that's baked in. Nobody will be that surprised. With Kamala Harris, they're nervous. They don't know what they're going to get. They could get a word salad. They could get something.
He's going to do a slam dunk on her on the border. That is going to be brutal.
Yep. If he's smart.
And, huh?
Yeah.
And the economy, though, both of those. Listen, he's got a wealth of weapons to choose from in terms of putting Kamala Harris on the spot. I would also say that crime in big cities, that illegal immigration thing, like you said, the news is just bad.
If I could make a prediction, here's what's going to happen. Trump's going to call her the border czar. Mm-hmm. OK, okay? And you've been a disaster as the border. You've been the border czar, and we've had 20 million, I don't know what figure he'll use, people coming here illegal, just pouring into our countries from, they're letting them out of prisons, he's going to say. They're letting them out of mental institutions. We got people coming around, and he's right about all this, by the way. We got people coming from around the world. We don't know who they are, and pouring in while you're the border czar. And she's going to say, I was never, that was never my title, and I never was a border czar. So you're making that up. She's got something to that effect. Yeah. And, of course, we all know she was de facto the border czar because Biden put her in charge of the border. She'll say something like, my responsibility was to find out the root causes of why people are coming to our country illegally.
Here's two things that everybody,
like it was a research paper,
that everybody knows
but she failed
about the border. Okay, you can point to fentanyl deaths coming across, for people coming across the border, and everybody has seen those videos. What was that apartment complex? Where was that at?
Where's in
Aurora, Colorado?
Aurora, Colorado.
Venezuelan gangs.
Where they had the Venezuelan gangs in charge. Everybody knows those two things, and everybody knows about the jobs disappearing, going to illegal immigrants, the schools being packed, hospitals having to close, all and wages depressed. Everybody's going to know that, and Trump is pretty shrewd when it comes to these things. You hammer that stuff, and what is Kamala Harris going to say? The only thing she can say is, I wasn't in charge.
Yeah.
And then Trump says, well, you and Joe Biden were.
Right.
Well, and to add to that list, the crimes that were the murders and the rapes that have been committed by illegals. talking about this, yesterday we played that lady who was kind of yelling at the Chicago City Council.
Right.
Remember, she was saying leave the Democrat Party and everything. I have a story running on that today, but in the process of that story, I talked to Donna Jackson, who is with Project 21, which is a conservative African American group. And she says that this woman and others around the country have very good reason to be upset by this illegal immigration crisis. Listen to what they're going through in just in Chicago, in just one instance, cut 12.
There are a number of people who have been waiting for housing, sometimes on a waiting list for 8 to 10 years. And you have illegal immigrants who come into the city and get 2 years free rent, and they're automatically given housing.
Can you imagine being on a list and waiting for 10 years, and all of a sudden the apartment that you all thought you were going to move into has some illegal alien residents with cash?
This is for government subsidized housing. This is what she's talking
low-income housing.
And this has been going on, Wesley. This is in city after city. This is why you may be seeing some support. I don't know how much it'll be. Some support draining away from the Democrats in the black community. It's probably not going to be much, but it may be enough to kind of flip the election. Even Hispanics who are legal here. I mean, we've all heard stories of veterans, homeless veterans being thrown out of hotels in New York City so that they can house illegal immigrants.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I keep coming back to this, so there's a lot of things that we've discussed as far as policies and issues and things that are going on in our country that you got the Democrat view of it, you got the Republican view of it, or a conservative view of it, or the far left view of it. And I keep coming back to this with all the issues with the debate that's happened tonight, with you had Biden debate a couple weeks ago, a month or so ago. All of this, when it's all said and done, 2024, the issue is going to be what's happened at the border, because it is the biggest impact, I believe. Well, that and the economy, biggest impact on people, because now the illegal immigrants that have come over or have been flown in by planes are in other people's community. It's not just at the border, so to speak. As someone once, somebody's said this before about how every state's a border state now.
Yeah.
And that's because you've got the Haitian community in Springfield, Ohio.
Right.
You've got the, was it Colorado? From the people from El Salvador?
Venezuela.
Okay, gotcha. Yep. Venezuela.
Well, also Boston, New York, Chicago.
With the famous video of the people let loose or let off on bond in New York, and they were the immigrants that had committed the crimes were flipping the middle finger to the camera.
Yes,
do you remember this?
That's right.
But I'm also
that.
Talking about just the Democrat mayors in those big cities have been complaining to the federal
government.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they're overwhelmed with the number of illegal illegal aliens that have come into the country that those cities are now trying to house and protect.
I think personally that's the hardest thing for a Democrat to defend. I think the economy they can say you can manipulate numbers. Now I'm not saying you'll persuade people. But you can make numbers sound just about any way you want.
Right.
Even though there's other issues that you can, I don't know, like I said, make it sound the way you want it to sound. But that what's taking place personally from what's happened at the border, there's no good way to explain that away.
And that's why down ballot Democrats could suffer as well.
Absolutely.
Because are you going to have people who are running for re-election in their House district or running for re-election in the Senate? I think you have a lot more Democrats up for re-election in the Senate. They've got to they have two choices. We either defend what Biden-Harris has done on the border, or we say Biden-Harris was wrong.
That's right.
And we're going to fight to protect that border, which means you go against your Democrat Party platform.
All right, next story.
All right. James O'Keefe has been at it again. Remember, he's the guy that goes undercover and breaks a whole lot of stuff. He got one of his reporters to go undercover with a Google growth strategist who knows something about business at Google. And this is what he found out, that Google has been actively coordinating with the Kamala Harris campaign, manipulating search engine advertisements in her favor in the 2024 election. They are making users believe that they were reading unbiased reports from reputable sources when they were actually looking at Harris ads. He also found that Google's primary objective is to generate ad revenue through fear-based content, saying that the demographic that's most fearful is the most profitable, and currently the left represents the most fearful demographic.
Do we have any of that? Probably too late to do that today. Do we have any of that audio?
Yes,
from that?
Yes, it's all audio.
Undercover?
I only found this like 10 minutes or 5 minutes before I got to the studio. But
so Google is actually running Harris, Kamala Harris ads.
They were inserting,
as if they were real news stories?
Yes.
The search engine?
The content, I don't think Google put the ads together, but there are ads out there that look like they're news stories.
But usually they say sponsored.
Yeah.
On them.
Do they say that sponsored?
I haven't looked deep enough. I'll bring this in tomorrow and we can go in.
Usually if you go and look on like a Google, if a story is basically a infomercial, then they usually tag it with sponsored. So you'll know that before you click on there. But anyway, well, listen, tonight, the presidential debate, for those of you who haven't made up your minds already, and it'll be on ABC television, but also simulcast on some other networks, including Fox.
I've got my pizza scheduled to be delivered just on time.
Chelsea's letting you eat pizza tonight?
Okay. No, but hey, you know what? It's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
Schedule AFN, a pizza to be delivered.
AFN's going to have coverage as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.